gets to, okay, why is Reds Brown here? Because what we've learned, and one of the best things that I learned in life was, just like Mr. Henderson said, he had never met me. And I was at work one day after 9-1-1, and I got all these people from the government needing to talk to me about the federal regulations that we have on our refinery. And it dawned on me, my mother and dad had never seen what I did for them. They just knew I made good money, but they didn't know what I did. So I brought them down one weekend and took them to see some of the things I had done. And the first place I took them was to the Historical Law Center. And it brought back so many good memories of my dad from the fact that he was a teacher in the segregated system, and he got a chance to see me interact with people who did not look like me. And we got along fantastically. And he said, I thought I would never live to see that. And it made him feel so good to see the camaraderie. So what you all are trying to do here in Lufkin, I deal from a positive standpoint. That's all Exxon teaches us. That's why we run rings around everybody else. That's why we bought Mobil. We did not merge with Mobil. We bought Mobil. And when Mobil came in, they do things the way we want them done, because undoubtedly, we were doing right. We were number one. So, now, why Reggie Brown is here today? You got this side, you got that side. T.J. Ford went to the University of Texas. And most people don't realize that what really helps our kids perform is extracurricular activities. The UIL, which controls all of that, comes under the umbrella of the University of Texas. A former black band director is the vice president of the University of Texas, and he controls the UIL. He's our friend. He's a T.J. Ford fan. When you guys were in school, y'all played football. None of those records carried over when integration came in. 1967, when everything stopped, when we stopped going to Purview to go to the state track meet, the state basketball meet, so on and so forth, all of that got wiped out with integration. There was a group of guys. And I don't know if you know this lady, Ms. Pearl. I think she came to replace you. Her husband was named Billy Howard. He was my high school football coach. He's passed on. In 1980, he started trying to work with a group of guys to get those records recognized. So I come along with my group of Exxon people, and we don't take no for an answer on anything. That's just how Exxon works. In 2005, Coach Howard is deceased. I talked to his wife, and she said, yeah, you know, it would mean a lot. Say, Billy's probably still watching you. Emergency used to beat your behind. He would appreciate you doing this. What we did, we got data together. We made an appointment with the vice president of the University of Texas. He also brought in the UIL executive director, and he brought in the athletic director. These three guys control all of the sports and extracurricular in the state. And 2 days before that, we went down to Prairie View and ran a base case with the president of Prairie View. These guys have been trying since 67. We went in 15 minutes, and now those records are recognized. That's why I'm here in Lufkin. We are going to have a banquet to recognize the former all-black schools. It's never been done in East Texas, but we're going to do it in Lufkin. We're planning on doing it sometime in February. And when we made our presentation, we didn't go in like most people. Like if I came and approached you and said, why haven't you done so-and-so for us? When are you going to do it? That puts you in a defensive mode. When we went and approached them, instead of saying, we want you to do this, we already had the data. All they had to do is put it in the computer. After 15 minutes, we went to lunch. The next week, the UIL website was changed, and everything since then has been going fantastic. back in January, we had a meeting down in Prairie View. The president of Prairie View was there, the president of the University of Texas was there, the two key guys from the UIL were there, and the vice president of UT, who's over the UIL, were there. And they said, undoubtedly, you all must be doing something right to have these kind of people in this room. And we are. And what they did, they presented a plaque to Prairie View, because that's where the events used to be sponsored for the Prairie View and the Scholastic League. They're going to give us half a floor in the library at Prairie View for the memorabilia from back when we were all in segregated school. The T.J. Ford Foundation is helping financially to do this. And all of these come under the umbrella of a 501(c), which is tax deductible. So really, now our group is made up basically of ExxonMobil people, because how our historical museum grew in Baytown is we use other people's money, and we use it big time. So for every 20 hours of work we do, we get $1,000 for our museum. And what we do, all the display cases in there look just alike, and we have stuff all the way back to 1811 in our museum. So it's fantastic. The reason why I came is because Miss Betty asked me to, and she didn't know who I was. She just heard her son-in-law talk about me. And believe me, we look forward to doing some good things. We look forward to making the community look better from a positive standpoint, and that's the only way we deal with it. When we approached the UIL, that was their whole take of, man, we don't have to hear any more noise from anybody asking me, why haven't we done something when we can do it? So that's my spiel. That's why I'm here. Thank you.
Mr. Brown, will you ask him questions? This is a lost era in our community. We are hoping to preserve.
Well, this, like 64, 67.
All those trophies were specially handled in the field. And they were on display at the Lufkin High School for years. Right now, I don't know where they are, but they were carefully preserved.
The ones that they captured.
They went unknown and unnoticed for years.
No, right.
Yes.
Until
right.
Somebody raised a that's concern correct. And raised a ruckus about their virtually
that's
ignoring.
Correct.
We didn't know whether they were destroyed or not.
Yes,
but
well,
that was a committee or somebody got together and started looking, searching for, and they found portions of those trophies, portions of those displays, but not all. And just where they are located, some of them they brought back to Dunbar. You can see some of the pictures of them displayed there. Some they displayed at the high school. Some they never found.
Yeah, that's right.
So,
if you're trying to get it back to the Marion Church, UIL, and what do you do? What constitutes all of their recognition?
Okay, what constitutes their recognition, which is something that my Exxon training teaches us, you never go ask anybody for something if you don't have the data to back it up. Okay, the Prairie View Interscholastic League started in 1920.
When year did you start high school?
You started high school in 1922, right?
He said he moved to London.
1922. But the league started in 1920. We have the newspaper articles, that's what the UIL wants, all the way back to 1920. So if we say somebody won a state championship, we've got the newspaper article to back it up. Now, most people come saying, well, we did this and we did that. I know that people remember better what they see than what they hear. So our thing is, most of the time, I try to give 150% of what I do. So I could have brought some stuff here that would really show you what I'm talking about. All the records are in a computer. If I want to know what Luck and Dunbar did, all I got to do is type in a name. And it'll come up, and it'll show me the state championships they won in football, basketball, so on and so forth. We've already got that in the computer. Okay? We've got the newspaper articles to back it up. And that was one of the things that was driving the driving force behind the UIL saying, hey, we understand what you're saying. Because if I'm showing you a newspaper article that's dated, that means if you don't believe me, go look it up. It's there. So. Right. What happened there really, so you'll totally understand what I'm saying. Okay, I told you about my strength with the T.J. Ford Foundation, because you can't do anything without money. You can wish all you want to, but without money, you can't do it. Okay, the T.J. Ford Foundation helps us have the money. Okay, there was a group of guys that my former high school coach formed in 1980. He died. And it kind of died off, and they just kept wishing and hoping. We come along with the PBIL Foundation, and we've got money, and we've got context behind us. So out of that, what we're doing, we're not just recognizing sports. We're recognizing teachers. We're recognizing band directors. We're recognizing administrators. We're recognizing people like Miss Betty, who's carried on the torch to make sure this stuff didn't go. So out of the 36 people we recognize, they will not all be athletes. They will be in different sports. There will be academics. There will be education, administrators. Because prime example, my little high school girlfriend, real shy, she was from Athens. And she went down to Fairview and won state 4 years in a row in Titan. And I see her every once in a while when I go to Prairie View now. We got separated. She went to PV, I went to U of H. She went on and she became an OBGYN. And she said without that confidence that she gained by being state champion in something, she'd still be in Athens, probably working in Jack and Bones.
So this is through integration, what you're recognizing.
No, it does not. Okay. It touches a lot of pre-integration, but we also include the integration side because one of our biggest allies has been the print media. So we recognize, and it's not just an all-black thing either. Okay? So we're trying to cover all the bases because it takes all of us to make this work. But there are a lot of companies that have what's called volunteer involvement programs, and they will match it for their employees. And a lot of the people with the Baytown Historical Museum are former excellent employees, or they have a spouse who was. You can do it if you were a spouse. And it's set up on a 501(c). Now, out of that 501(c), we've had a lot of people who have done real good in life, and they, you know, realize, well, I've only got a couple of years to live, and they'll end up giving us a couple $100,000 just for the museum because it's a tax rate. So it's worked out to be a good thing.
You said on this, for the UIL, this is, you know, not just high school. These are records that say students that did the poetry reading in the elementary school.
Right.
These are going to be
right
on files, on record as well.
Right.
And so it's just not a high school thing. It's K through whatever.
Right. Because see what happened with the Prairie View Interscholastic League when you set up your districts. Mm-hmm. You needed an equal number of schools, and a lot of times they dropped down and had some of the elementary and pre-K in a district, especially in the extracurricular, not the football, but the other stuff. So that's where these kids
are. So academics and sports.
Right. Academics and sports.
If you have a specific type of
That's why I'm here today, to try to find out. Okay.
Can you let us know when you're arriving that night?
Place and time.
Well, we just did, I'm going to tell you this and then I'm going to sit down. We just did a, TJ went to Willow Ridge High School in Sugar Land. And they should have won 3 state championships in basketball, but they won 2. It was the last 2 years. He lost 4 games in basketball in 3 years. And they were wondering, they'd always wondered, why can't we recognize some of our students? They've had some fantastic athletes come through. So TJ's mom and I got together and we said, well, why can't you recognize more than just your former students? So to answer the question that you were talking about, we had a banquet September 9th. And I gave them the impetus, and she and I both did. We had to go out of town, and they were concerned they wouldn't be able to do it. When they got through counting money, they had made $39,000. I'm talking about made, after everything was paid. And what we did, there's a guy who's assistant football coach at Rice right now. He used to be the head football coach at Stephen F. Austin. He was one of the people we recognized. The guy who was the head coach at Humble was one of the people we recognized. There's a guy who plays on Grey's Anatomy, was one of the people we recognized. So we ended up recognizing 50 people. The program lasted an hour and 35 minutes, and we cleared $39,000.
Mr. Reggie has, he said he doesn't have enough. So let's take one and we'll try to make it go as far as you can, and you can make it. I want to bring this out, Lacey. We had lost the name of Dunbar, and that building was called Lufkin Intermediate, and Lacey was responsible for the restoration or restoring the name of Dunbar, and we deeply appreciate that. We have not touched the surface of that segregated period. You see, I'm worried about people writing the story, because I said no one can write the story like we can, who have struggled being segregated for those years. But I also said, as I complained about who wrote the stories, the Lord said to me, it doesn't matter who writes the story, just so it's written, because the written language will outlast you. That written language, even with mistakes in it, is better to have it written than not written at all. And we just deeply appreciate Mr. Reggie for driving up and being here and for sharing what they're doing. We deeply appreciate that from the bottom of our heart. We're going to close now.
Ms. Kennedy?
Yes.
May I say something in reference to something that was mentioned a few minutes ago concerning the trophies? A few years ago, back in the middle 80s, the school district had a cleaning crew that they hired on. Lacey, you weren't here yet, I don't think, and Dr. Earl, you were gone.
I said that back in the 80s, I was at Gary, happy after 86. The district had a cleaning crew that they hired. And the guy who was in charge of the cleaning crew came to me in the office and asked, what could he do about this that he had found? What he had found were Dunbar trophies in a room in Lufkin High School, in water, broken. Those kind of things, because they had never been placed in the front of the building. No, they read the same thing, read them placed in front of the building. So then what he did on his own, they built the cabinet that's at Dunbar right now and moved those trophies from where they found them and placed them where they are today.
Kirk, I picked up truck load of trophies.
Yes.
Over at the high school and took them down there and that were broken things. You picked up pictures.
Yes.
That were incomplete. some of them were missing.
Yes.
But one of my employees built that case. And we continue to put things down there. One of our outstanding students, Gene Brown, who was a hero, the colonel in the Air Force. And we crashed experimental jets,
yes,
rather than allow it to crash in a housing project. We just, we got monument him down there.
Oh,
yes.
Very
so we continue to add.
Now, just remember, you were here.
Yeah, I was here.
Yeah. When I came back to Lufkin, you were here, so you were here for the time. Yeah. I just wanted to let that be known, because many of you are not aware of what did take place. Those trophies were misused.
For everyone.
Yes, yes.
Mr. Brown, I'd like you to consider this. As you honor the persons with plaques, there are many who have passed on that gave their life during the 7 or 8 years and contributed much to not only those that are in this room, but to many persons who went on to achieve. If we could have, give me a big word, Lacey.
Okay.
Give me a big word. If we can have a...
Hospital.
He knows a big word. if we can have a granite piece with these names engraved on it, or a metal piece or something.
A monument.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Okay. If there's no more questions for them, and I'm sure you may have some, the display here that I brought that I thought you might would enjoy seeing, let us all say thank you. Carol, you might have something to say? Dickie, would you close out now?
I need to remind you that our meeting will be November 13th, our next one. Linda Heberling will talk about her father, Sam Schultz, who helped liberate France. We will not meet at the chamber, nor here. We will meet at Carpenter's Way Baptist Church. It'll be November 13th, 10:30, same time. And I hope to see all of you there. Thank you so much.
Can we get a picture or two?
Yes.
Can you stand close together here? Can all of you come and stand? Who's going to arrange them?
You are, Miss Betty.
You can take the picture and arrange them, too.
Carol. You're getting like you want them.
The paper's supposed to be.
You want to get in there and let me take your photo, too?
Betty.
Will you move down this way, Ellie, to Charles and Lacey and the girl?